The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
To start your day, this is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't think you guys can appreciate or even comprehend the task that Malik Willis, I mean, this guy got here 3 weeks ago.
40 run for 135 yards. Put it in the air this time. It is still there to Wicks, and a touchdown. Willis threads it through for his first NFL strike and a touchdown.
There was a lot put on his plate, and for him to be able to go out there and do what he did today, I think that speaks volumes of who he is as a person and the work that he's put in.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You just got to find a way to win, because at the end of the day, nobody cares.
He's got it. He's got room. Josh Jacobs gallops free. Biggest run in his short tenure with the Packers. Jacobs.
I don't think of it. I mean, it's either win or lose, and y'all going to write about that either way. You know, you can say what you want to. All you can do is control the flow of the game. The flow of the game set. We're running the ball today.
Rookie knocks this one through. 5 out of 6 to begin his NFL career. 13-0.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And we're not here to throw those terms around. We're here to win games and do what we can to lean on each other. And that's all it is.
And it's just, this game is about winning, and you got to do it. However, you got to find a way, and our guys found a way today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Was incredibly satisfying, ladies and gentlemen. Satisfying and shocking. Those two things can coexist. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Victory Monday as the Packers do get the win over the Colts on Sunday at Lambeau Field. Did I see that they are now the first franchise to reach 800 victories?
That is correct.
In franchise history? Well, it will be one that they remember. Matt LaFleur calling it one of his favorite wins of his six-year career. We will get to that as the show goes on. But man, oh man, this was huge. I love that Matt LaFleur has already highlighted this, circled this, put it in his scrapbook, his mental scrapbook, if you will, because he should take pride in this victory. The fact that they were able to run the ball 50-plus times with Josh Jacobs, etc., et al., and that Malik Willis, who had been with the team for less than 3 weeks. What was the number, Gabe? Was it 19 days?
19 days, I believe.
19 days. He had only been with the franchise for 19 days and yet was able to go out there, manage the game, not put too much on his shoulders, but do just enough to get the team a victory in the absence of Jordan Love. Chew, we're going to talk about it all morning long, and I got to be honest with you, I'm not sure talking about it for the next 2 hours, even in the most glowing of ways, is going to do it justice.
Well, the most satisfying thing for me was that I was right.
Oh, what? Do tell.
I said 17-14 overtime. It'll be goofy kind of game, which it was. How it played out. The score was 16-10.
The score was
16-10.
I don't recall, Jen.
17-14 is not that far off.
Correct.
Did the game go into overtime
it
yesterday?
Did not.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
That's the only thing I got wrong.
You thought that the Packers would have 17 points. How many did they have, Gabe?
They had 16.
You thought that the Colts would have
14.
They had
10.
That's
okay,
pretty
so far,
much nailing it.
0 for 2.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
overtime
nailing it.
Overtime makes it 0 for 3. Three
there's
strikes,
a scale. There's a scale. There's a scale.
A sliding scale, apparently.
Horrible, boring game. What? You know what I would love to see? Just love to see.
How was it boring?
16-10?
Chewy, I thought they were going to get worked. I thought they were going to get destroyed.
I
thought it was going to be... Why in the world did you go out and get Malik Willis to be the guy if the guy couldn't play? Like, that's what I thought. And again, that was based on all of the analysis. That was based on all of the information. That was based on people who had watched Malik Willis headed into this game saying, This guy can't do it. Can't get it done.
Matt LaFleur. He didn't do anything special. He just didn't do anything bad.
He managed the game. If anybody did something special yesterday, it was Matt LaFleur.
I agree. His game plan was perfect. I can tell you this. He didn't think they were going to rush for 200 and something yards.
No. But once they were able to run the ball, he's like, how many coaches in the league, and we talk about it all the time because the Packers' run defense has been so bad, how many offenses run the ball with success and then ultimately go, yeah, but let's throw it, right? I mean, I feel that so many teams in the league, and maybe it's obviously easier to do that when you have your backup quarterback in the game where you just keep running it, but to have the discipline to continue to run the football and stick with that game plan and don't vary
sure,
from it, don't get tempted into running a two-minute drill at the end of the first half. No, we are going to keep this ship just perfectly level. We are going to keep it steady. We are going to find a way to win.
But part of that is because the Colts did nothing to make adjustments in the second half. I know that they stymied him a little bit, but we talked about it all week long going into this game, guys. The Packers were going to run the ball. They were going to run the ball, and then they were going to run the ball some more. I believe our esteemed colleague, Jason Wilde, even asked Matt LaFleur point blank, what do you do when everyone, including the other team, knows that you would prefer to run the ball? Did the Colts just not get the memo? Did the Colts just forget?
That's why I'd love to see his defensive game plan. Like, I don't get. You bring a guy up in the box, that doesn't work. When you have Malik Willis, you bring up another guy in the box to stop him. You go into this and say, all right, what was his number? 2?
Yeah.
22? 2?
Yeah, he's number 2.
2's got to beat you.
I mean, you know,
I was
Doug
on a
Flutie
plane.
Worked.
I had to listen to it on the.
In fairness, he went to Boston College. Doug Flutie wore 22, a quarterback at Boston College.
No, it's fine. He explained he was listening to it on the stream.
But he did everything asked of him, and he did it perfectly, which isn't much. 5-yard checkdowns, little sticks, take care of the ball. LaFleur did a great job not being baited into these 4th-and-2s and maybe I should. No, punt the ball. Right?
Yeah, it was a very conservative game plan.
Great.
It's what
very
they exactly good. Need to do. And, yes. And to Malik Willis's credit, he executed it perfectly.
Perfectly.
Okay, well, Matt LaFleur has a comment for your conservative game plan. Let's hear from Matt LaFleur, number 4 on the show sheet, Max, who says, it's not conservative, it's actually this.
Hi.
Some may call that conservative. I call that being smart. The guy had they had 3 timeouts. I mean, like I said, Malik has been here for 3 weeks. To put him in a 2-minute situation at the end of the half when you're up 10-0, I would call that reckless.
I would agree. He was smart. He coached it perfectly. I still don't think he thought they were rushing for 261.
Sure, but he's thrilled that they did.
Yeah, sure. Merry Christmas. You want to give us a Christmas in September present? I'm happy to take that.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. We were talking about this earlier. I don't know what this NFL is about. I have no idea. Do you believe in New Orleans? Do you believe in Minnesota?
Back-to-back weeks, they put up a lot of points.
Minnesota?
Justin Jefferson's pretty good.
Tampa Bay?
These are all teams that got victories yesterday.
Those are all teams that are 2-0.
But I think there's a lot of parity in the league this year. You just don't know. I mean, you said it. What do you know, Gabe?
I know 2 things. The Chiefs are good. The Panthers suck. That's it. That's
the list. Everything else is in the middle.
Everything else is on the table. I think especially with no preseason, it used to be a game or two. Now it might be an entire month. Like this entire month of September, it matters because it matters in the standings. And there's only 17 games. But in terms of trying to determine who's actually going to be good at the end of the year, I don't know if you can take much from any of these games. Honestly, it's just, hey, find a way to win so you can tally one in the win column.
Exactly.
We'll continue to work on everything going forward.
Which is kind of good.
We'll just continue to win ugly if we have to win ugly. And there are, I mean, offenses across the league are ugly.
And that's because there's no preseason.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the Al Davis win. This is the Al Davis month. This is the just win, baby. Figure out a way. There are a lot of people weighing in, 800-990-3776 on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. And many of them want to hear the Chewy was right drop, if for no other reason than because Chewy said that they could win ugly and the rest of us gave them no shot of winning. So, Max, let's just do it. Let's get it out of the way. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off.
Chewy was right. Holy Chewy was right.
And Chewy, the reason that you thought that they could win was because of Matt LaFleur. You thought that he could dial up a game plan that would limit Malik Willis from losing the game for them.
Yeah, well, playing at home is very comfortable after having to go to South America. I think LaFleur's a really good coach, a really good game planner. Now, there's things he does that I don't agree with or I don't like, but I think when it comes to putting a game plan together, he's pretty damn good. I mean, he's not Andy Reid, but he's that next tier.
I mean, Andy Reid's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day.
Yeah. But LaFleur is off to a hell of a start. He's just got to win a few more big games when they matter, you know? But I have all the confidence in the world. Now, you have gut feelings as players, you know, with games like this early in the season, and I'm not going to feel great about Sunday's game. Just not. I'm not. I don't feel just in the pit.
You're talking about this upcoming
Sunday's game. Do not feel good about it at all.
And is that because you feel like Tennessee, of all the teams, knows Malik
Willis
the best?
I can tell you this. They're not rushing for 261.
Oh, absolutely.
They're not rushing for 261. And this team knows
Willis.
Willis. And they've lost two close games. You know, Will Levis stinks. Well, he does, doesn't he?
He had another really dumbass play yesterday.
Yeah. It's almost like, all right, I'll probably take Willis a little bit over Malik. But, you know.
Will
Levis over Malik Willis.
Yes.
That's totally understandable how you tongue-tied that one, honestly. Like, we're going to give you that one.
Yeah, I do not feel great about this upcoming game. Just from a player standpoint. I don't know why, but.
Let me ask you this. Who did you learn the most about in yesterday's game? Could be anybody. Could be Josh Jacobs. Oh, he can really be the guy. He could tote the rock. You know, if we have somebody who we don't believe in necessarily at quarterback, Josh Jacobs can carry the offense. Was it Matt LaFleur? Whoa, we knew he was a good coach when he had Aaron Rodgers under center. We were seeing signs of it with Jordan Love last year, but this was really his, what do they call it? Opus? Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. Mr. Holland's opus type
Correct.
Of thing?
Yeah.
It was a great game plan.
Who did you learn the most about after yesterday's game?
It's probably Josh Jacobs. It's good to know that he can still have a game like that, where you can turn around and hand it off to him 32 times. And to that, does Goody deserve a little credit? I'm not saying for the Malik Willis thing, for replacing, because if Aaron Jones is still the Packers running back instead of Josh Jacobs, can Aaron Jones carry the ball 32 times in a game?
Let me ask you this, though. Who's the backup? The other backup? Well, Clifford? Clifford?
Yeah. Oh, you think he could have running back? Sorry, my bad.
Do you think he could have done the exact same thing? Yeah.
I mean, probably. Do I think if Clifford plays in the game, he goes 12 of 14? Who knows?
He could.
He could.
Right.
I mean, could he have executed that game plan? He could have executed that game plan.
I mean, there was really one throw that was really nice, right? The long one down the sideline, end of the game. That's it.
And Dobbs really went up and made a play there, too.
Everything was a check down, everything, which is a perfect, this is what he needed to do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird. Are you going to tell me Dallas sucks now?
I have no idea. No idea. That's what I said. I know two things, Chewy.
I know two things.
I know who's number one in the power rankings. I know who's number 32 in the power rankings. The rest is, maybe.
Which I kind of like.
You could talk me into just about anything.
I kind of like. You know,
parody's chaos.
Good. Parody's good.
Chaos.
I don't like that Minnesota looks as good as they do.
I don't like that either.
I don't know if I buy it. The Bears are kind of what I thought they were.
Yeah.
Detroit looked like crap yesterday.
They made a couple dumb mistakes.
It's going to be a dogfight. End of the year, it's this division, which right now you could probably say might be the toughest division in football. Am I right?
Again, Chewy, I keep going back to, I know two things. Chiefs are good.
Yes.
Panthers bad. I don't know if this could be the – could it be the best division in football? Maybe. I mean, you have the Bengals are 0-2 and the Steelers 2-0 in the AFC North.
I am with you.
What the hell's going on over there?
Okay, so time out then. I mean, again, let's take your premise of we don't know because the league is so wonky and because there's no preseason and guys teams look one way one week and another way another week. And then what conclusion can you come to for the Packers? What conclusion can you come to about them? If you're saying the rest of the league is, I'm not sure. Are you confident in the Packers, or are you still not sure?
I'm not sure what this team is.
I could say this. They got a good roster. They got. I'm not saying they have the best roster in all of football, but they have a good roster. When you win a game like this, you got a good roster.
Yeah, I mean, I still wish they had more stars on the roster.
Yeah, I don't think they're the best. But I certainly think they're in the top 10 when it comes to rosters.
Oh, sure.
Who did you learn the most about during yesterday's Packers win over the Colts? I think for me, it was the offensive line. The offensive line played a fantastic game. And you had to in order to run the game plan that Matt LaFleur and Adam Stenovich wanted to run there. Which, by the way, Matt LaFleur deferring credit to Steno afterwards. But LaFleur's calling the plays, isn't he, Gabe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Steno just, he puts the play sheet together? Is that how it works?
They all work together throughout the course.
He might install. Usually the guy calling the plays wants to install. I mean, back in the day, Holmgren would do all the installations unless he had something he had to do, and then Sherm Lewis would install. But my guess is probably LaFleur installs, or at least tries to get there to do it.
But I'm guessing with Steno having the offensive line background that he does, he probably had a big hand in helping out, you know, kind of putting together whatever the game plan ended up eventually looking like that allowed them to run the ball 53 times.
Let's hear from Matt LaFleur very quickly talking about how he challenged the offensive line earlier this week.
Again, I told the O-line I challenged them the other day, and we had a shaky day of practice, I think, on Wednesday, and I went in there and said, "Hey, we're winning this game through you guys," and you know I thought they stepped up.
So that for me is the unit that I think I learned the most about after the win on Sunday. Who did you learn the most about? We're gonna put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll as well this morning. A big, big, big. I don't think we can overstate how big this was, guys. A backup quarterback who nobody to a man had great things to say about coming into it, figures out a way, run the ball, to get a victory in week two when we are still trying to figure out the vibe of the NFL. It feels very good this morning to be rooting for the Green Bay Packers and to have a victory on the ledger this week. 800-990-3776, taking your reaction all morning long to the big win. We'll take a break. Be right back after this.
It is a victory Monday, as Jen said. It's brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. Delicious brands, Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian, Surfer Boy Pizza. They're all Palermo's, and they've got your game day covered. I had one yesterday during the game. Palermo's, find them in your local grocer's freezer.
Never miss out on a second of the show. Find Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand. Sponsored by Celsius Essential Energy Drink. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm telling you, don't doubt his story. Because he heebie-jeebies at certain times to miss field goals.
Yeah.
Gabe, I showed you how he does the heebie-jeebies,
heebie-jeebie.
You take your fingers and you rub them back and forth on your thigh, and you go heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie. Swear the guy bats 100%. So to call him a liar and he puts a curse on you?
Look, stupid. I'm not calling him a liar.
Yeah, you are.
On 94.5 ESPN.
To say.
Funny run for 135 yards. Put it in the air this time. And it's still there, the Wicks, and a touchdown. Willis threads it through for his first NFL strike and a touchdown.
Talking about the 16-10 Packers victory, Packers improved to 1-1. And as the guys have mentioned, you got some wonkiness happening around the league. You got some craziness. We don't really know what teams are, who they are, what their identity is going to be. But we do know that the Packers can win without Jordan Love. And look, we still don't know when Jordan Love could be back. I don't think anybody was buying the old, he could be back this week. No. Like, I think everybody's pretty understood that that was just strategery and gamesmanship. But he could be back next week. He could be back the following week. If he's not back against the Titans, he could be back against the Vikings. Gabe, would you feel more confident with Jordan Love going against the Vikings than the third sighting of Malik Willis?
Yes.
Whereas we know then, more tape on him. Teams sort of figure out better how to defend against what he can do.
Well, not even just more tape on him, more tape on what the Packers are doing off, you know, in terms of their offensive line, trying to get everything going with the run game. That has been the hope. And it was a week ago when our guy Adam Schefter went on the Pat McAfee show and pointed to that Vikings game as a possibility. I know your friend Diana Rossini over at The Athletic had her report over the weekend saying certainly the Vikings game is a possibility, but it seems like internally the goal would be the Rams game, and if he can come back before then, great.
I still don't think they're going to be in the top 10 power rankings tomorrow. I really don't, because you have to put Minnesota in there, right? And they haven't been in with a big win yesterday against San Fran. You have to put Tampa Bay, who's 2-0, who beat Detroit. And then do you put Seattle in there? Seattle's 2-0.
Yeah, but
it's Patriots, but who they beat the first game? I know that was at home, but
I believe they've beaten the Patriots and the Broncos.
Yeah, they might not get in, but I don't know. I'm with you, Gabe. I have no idea. Because to me, there's a lot of good teams in the NFC after 2 weeks of football.
Got to be honest. I really don't care if they're in the top 10 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right?
Because that's the point.
We're playing the long game here, right? Like, talk to me in 8 weeks. Hopefully they are continuing to surge. I do want to also focus on the defense, though, guys, because it was not just the offense who was making hay against the Indianapolis Colts. The defense, again, with the takeaways, generated 3 takeaways for the second straight week. Xavier McKinney had a first quarter interception. Evan Williams capped the game off with a pick on Richardson's final Hail Mary. Are you starting to believe in Jeff Hafley's defense now, Chu, 2 weeks in a row?
Richardson's terrible. He's not very good. He's okay. He's not anything special. The 140 rush, that's a little concerning, but Jonathan Taylor is a really good back.
The 140 rush is concerning because it was on 18 carries.
Yeah.
7.8 yards a carry.
A little gashy there.
Like, that's concerning. That's a little going.
Yeah.
And that's 2 weeks in a row where the rush defense hasn't looked good.
That's fine. Right now we're drafting off of a semi right now, right? The fuel light's on. We're like, all right, we're just drafting. Let's just win these games, until our guy gets back.
Yes. Running out of gas.
Yes.
Well, we're not out of gas yet.
No, but the light's on.
But it is imminent. You're hoping you can find a gas station that has a downward slope.
Yeah, you're not getting off the highway going up the ramp. You're hoping it's a down ramp.
I mean, I just hear so much about Love. I hear 5 weeks. I hear, hey, he might play this week.
I guess I would still be surprised if he played this week against the Titans.
I wouldn't play him.
I would be. What if the doctor says, yeah, he's as good as he's going to be?
I don't think he'd be 100%. Well, no, I wouldn't.
Based on what you saw yesterday, right? Like, like you went into it not really sure. Like, oh my gosh, we need to rush him back. You said you don't rush back a guy $55 million, et cetera.
Correct.
But when you saw what they could do yesterday, doesn't that give you more confidence that you can wait it out?
Yeah. Even if they lose the game, it's like, all right, 1-2, we're fine. We're fine. And then bring him back. Is next week Minnesota, the week after that?
Correct.
And then bring him back for that.
Yeah. So right? Tennessee, home against Minnesota. Or the next
yesterday was a huge win. Now, if they lost yesterday 0-2, then you might think,
maybe 0-3.
Well, even though that's not insurmountable.
0-3?
It's not great.
0-2 is, the numbers on 0-2. We read them off last week.
Look, this
11.5%.
All this is getting into the dance. That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's football today. Just get in. Just get in, and we're fine.
Preferably a home game.
Remember, he'll probably be wearing a brace when he comes back just to protect that knee. But regardless, just as the weeks go on. Are you starting to believe in Jeff Hafley's defense based on what you saw on Sunday against the Colts? The 3 takeaways, I think, is probably the thing you look at the most. Mm-hmm. Did the Colts look bad, Gabe, in the week before the Packers?
I don't know if they looked bad. They didn't look great. Again, because Anthony Richardson had over 200 yards passing on 9 completions. So he hit a lot of big balls. He hit a lot of big shots. Did have a turnover.
So that's what I want to point at. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of big shots in that game. You don't think he came into Lambeau Field thinking that they could do the same thing? There's got to be a part of you that thinks that Jeff Hafley's defense took that part of the game away from them.
Sure, and then Shane Steichen should have run the football, and he got impatient and didn't. And when you find an offensive coordinator that will be patient, Kyle Shanahan, and can run 18 times for 140 yards.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, Xavier McKinney was great, and we can have the debate who was the better free agent acquisition right now, McKinney or Jacobs. They've both been fantastic through 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The run game needs to get shored up. This run defense is the same run defense we've seen from the Green Bay Packers for a decade.
Yeah,
they need to shore that up, because not every week are you going to play a quarterback like Anthony Richardson, McKinney was a good play. The last interception was whatever. I mean, he gifted one to Eric Wilson. Just never saw him. Just threw it right to him. And to Wilson's credit, he caught the ball as a linebacker. But you're not going to play a quarterback who's going to gift you a couple of turnovers like that.
Quay's been disappointing. I think this week there were a few like, dude, you're fast, but you have to tackle. It's like catching the ball. Wow, you run by everyone, but you can't catch the ball. There were a few where he was right there in the hole and he just didn't make the tackle. Maybe he is just a little more than a guy, right?
Which Gabe would say would be disappointing.
Yeah.
Because I thought he would be special. He seems to have all the tools, but I don't know if his...
Gabe, do you think they're just playing the odds? When you talk about defenses, you talk about what they want to focus on. You said 3 takeaways, big deal, right? You win the turnover battle in this game.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a good thing. But are they playing the odds that not a lot of teams out there want to run the ball? You pay all of this money to your quarterback. You want to see him air it out. And therefore, maybe we don't need to stop the run because most teams aren't running the ball the way the Packers did on Sunday.
Yeah, and most teams are going to run the football. They want to throw the ball. I mean, every coach out there, I mean, we dealt with Mike McCarthy for years, right? Every offseason, it seemed like Mike, we got to rededicate to the football. We got to run the football. We got to do this. And he had Aaron Rodgers. So ultimately, he wanted to throw the football. I think ultimately everybody in the league wants to throw the football. However, the problem is when you run into great teams, because we're not talking about regular season for the Packers, right? Mm-mm. Like there are bigger goals for this team. And when you run into those teams in the postseason, the Eagles, as we saw last week, the San Francisco 49ers, not as much the Dallas Cowboys because McCarthy's their coach, they're going to want to throw it. But some of the elite teams, I bet you Detroit would be patient and run the football if they had 18 carries for 140 yards. The really good teams in the league will not give up on the run.
Alan weighing in saying, defense surprised me the most because they held an NFL team to 10 points. There's something to be said for that. Mm-hmm. In this era of, as you just mentioned, air it out, holding a team to 10 points does feel like a win. And as we said in the first segment of the show, this is the game that Matt LaFleur should hang his hat on. You've seen a lot from Matt LaFleur, but it has always been questioned by, well, he's got a Hall of Fame quarterback under center. Well, this, well, that. Last year, we thought that Matt LaFleur should have won Coach of the Year based on taking a team with Jordan Love, first-time starter, and the progress that they made over the course of those 17 games. Didn't happen. Could it happen now, this season, if he has Malik Willis under center for 3 games, 2 games, whatever it ends up being, and he manipulates his offense, he changes the game plan in order to get victories? With him under center, maybe. Feels like because it happens at the beginning of the year as opposed to later in the year, it won't have any effect on it.
But this part of the narrative is going to be long gone.
People will have long forgotten about it. But the point is, it is a indicator to people that maybe he is better than people have given him credit for.
I don't give a rip if he ever wins a Coach of the Year. We know how good he is.
Yeah.
We know how good he is. And that's the only thing that matters, as long as he continues to coach like he did yesterday. Yesterday was a great offensive game plan that they executed to a T. If that win, to me, if we're giving out credit, 90% of it goes to Matt LaFleur.
Does he have to follow it up, though, Chu? Because your point is the Titans are going to know Malik Willis better than anybody. The Titans are not going to allow you to run the ball 50-plus times. The Titans will come in with a better game plan. Do they need to follow up this win with a win this week in order for you to really give him the credit?
Yeah. Yeah, because he's going to have to throw the ball down the field. He didn't have to throw the ball down the field this last game. Not when you rush for 261. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot different. The Titans are going to go in and say, hey, Josh Jacobs, you're not beating us. I don't care if I have to put 10 guys in the box. You're not beating us.
What are they bringing a corner over, just leaving somebody wide open to the left?
They'll play cover zero. Just load the box and say, all right, we're man-to-man on these receivers. Keep him in the pocket. We're going to see what he can do. And then if he beats us, then he beats us. But 261 is not going to happen. Unless the coordinator is a complete moron, you know? That's why I'd love to see Gus Bradley, who's thought to be known as a pretty good D coordinator.
Yeah.
This is probably fireable. It'd be hard not to fire him. I can tell you this. He'd be leaving my office with a little hanging behind him. Like, what are you doing? You know? So. Right?
Yeah, and you're not wrong. You were cooking.
I'm not making a prediction for this, but do I believe that Malik Willis can go 21 of 31 for 270 and two touchdowns? That's what he's going to have to do.
Eventually, he would have to do that, depending upon how long he plays to win a game. I don't know if he'd have to do that against Tennessee. He might have to do that against Minnesota. But yeah, eventually there is going to be a team that is going to dare them.
I mean, did you watch the Jets game yesterday? Rodgers didn't look great. I mean, Tennessee's defense isn't world beaters, but they can play football. We knew that the Colts were horrible against the run.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't think they were 261 horrible.
Yeah, because Joe Mixon had a really good game the week before.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it'd be 150. So.
They can play football is an endorsement. Because last week we talked about somebody who couldn't play football.
I think he can kind of play
football. Struggled with football.
Yeah.
Wait, so you think that all of that criticism, all of those comments were wrong?
No, I don't think they're wrong. I mean, yesterday he was driving in a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit, and he was going 28. So that's good. That's good. But this week, it might be a 45, it might be a 55, you know? What's wrong with that analogy?
The driving metaphors this morning are fantastic. It's amazing. You're 2 for 2 on driving metaphors.
See, Jen,
this
you can't drive 25. It is physically impossible for you. Your idle is faster than 25 in your Jeep.
True. Yeah. I get to a school zone and I really panic too. Yeah. I'm like, oh God, what am I going to do? Brake?
Which
have
one's
to break?
The brake?
I just.
Yeah.
We never heard you.
Can go 25. We know that.
I've known you for a decade.
Yes.
I've never once heard you go, oh, this offense is 25 miles an hour. He's going 28. I've never heard you use that metaphor.
But it makes really good sense, like, right?
He's not wrong.
We know he can go 25 miles per hour. Can he bring it up to 60? If we need him to go 60, can he go 60?
If I'm a betting man, I'd say no. Just based upon his past.
What do you think he would have to go against Tennessee? What's the speed limit against the Titans? 45?
I think he's...
35?
No, it's probably 45 because he's going to have to throw it.
Because if you're the Titans, don't you take away the short routes?
Right?
Because that's what he was living and dying by. Other than, obviously, we talked about the touchdown pass. But, like, that's where he made his money.
Yeah.
12 of 14. I'd love to know, and I can look it up, obviously, during the break. But 12 of 14, how many of those 12 were under 10?
Yeah.
Under 10 yards.
And I don't really, because I had to listen to the game, I couldn't see what they were. I know they're a cover three team, Indianapolis. But if I'm playing the Packers this week, I'm going man, sometimes cover zero, making sure the box is secure, and make him throw the timed up with a little bit of pressure, 8 to 10 yard outs and slants and things like that. So I think that's what it's going to be.
800-990-3776. Are you now more optimistic about the defense, about Jeff Hafley's defense, 2 weeks into the season? Let us know. Lots of stuff to still get to this morning, including Vomit Ball. We'll get to Vomit Ball after this.
Oh.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What's the one thing you say almost weekly here on the show?
Less eat.
Try again.
I don't know.
What's the one thing you've got?
Big boobs.
You've got time.
Oh, time.
You've got time.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
We got there.
I needed a few more hints.
Yeah. He put you in a... That's Dave's fault.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Richardson floating, too tall and picked off. Xavier McKinney, two games with the Packers and two interceptions.
Continuing to talk about the Packers' victory yesterday over the Colts, and we cannot overstate what a big win this was. Big win, great game plan, what a shock, and it was wonderful. And we are thrilled that the Green Bay Packers figured out a way to win with Malik Willis under center. But Malik Willis also took one for the team. Take a listen to Matt LaFleur talking about one of the plays where he had wished Malik Willis had handled it differently, and then got an explanation as to why he handled it the way he did.
Yeah, I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that third down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that. Matter of fact, the official came over to me, Sean came over to me and said, you know, we saw your center throwing up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely. Please do that because, I mean, you're talking about a critical situation and it's third down, and I've never had a throw with vomit on a football. So I don't know. I don't think Malik probably didn't appreciate that.
Yeah, Frank's done that before.
On the football?
Yeah. It's not a big deal. Happens. I mean, it.
Oh, my God. It would be a very big deal.
Football's disgusting.
Well, look, I understand football's disgusting.
No, it's really gross.
But I just think of, like, yesterday was a beautiful day, dry day. Even people might thought it had been a little too hot at Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
But at no point did I think that the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers would not throw a football because he couldn't get a grip on it.
It's just...
because somebody vomited on the football.
It's just water coming from a stomach. But it's not a big... It's not like there's chunks.
I'm gonna be sick, please.
No. When you blow your nose out there... You know, you do the Irish blow.
Sure.
And there's, like, the trapeze that hangs and swings, and, you know, I don't want it on my glove, so it'll be swinging.
What is that song?
Wait.
Flies through the air with the greatest of ease.
Yes.
Wait, so you don't want a booger on your glove.
Yes.
But it's no big deal that Malik Willis had to try to throw a football with vomit on it?
No, it's not. It happens. It's gross. It's disgusting. Actually, the booger plays to my favor because now the defender looks at it and goes, dude, can you wipe that, please? Like, nope, I'll wipe it after the play. And we're running
toss. Is it distracting you? Wonderful. It's working.
Yes.
Let me ask you this, though, guys. Let's say he throws that football and it wobble, wobble, wobbles its way out of his hands and he throws up an interception. All of a sudden, you're going, well... there it is.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta say, like, this seemed to be the best of the options, Gabe.
Well,
I'm just trying to imagine this interaction because I imagine LaFleur's pretty fired up. Hey, why didn't you throw that ball? Coach Josh puked all over it.
That's kind of
all right. Hires. That's a good. You know what? That's a good excuse.
Yep.
Good. Carry on.
It's kind of because he didn't have to shoot it onto the ball.
Well, he did it right before. Did you see the video?
I didn't.
It's literally right before he snaps it.
Right before. Like milliseconds before he snaps the ball.
Puke throw. Snap. That's how puke
rally snap.
Yeah. That was how quickly it all happened. Like, he turns his head, vomits.
What is that? Is that butterflies? Is that a nervous stomach?
No, you drink too much water. No, you drink too much water and you're full. Your belly's full.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you got to get it out. It's disgusting. Look, I played against a right tackle that crapped himself, and it rolled down to his shoe, and I have the combination block, and it just happened to be his right leg.
Did it get on the football, though?
No, but I didn't want it on me.
Well, I'm saying, yeah, who cares about that? Like Jen said, like if he throws the ball and
but
he can't get a grip on
water.
It.
He probably drank too much water.
But that's the thing. Like football, the ball is now wet. You can't get a grip on it. That's where this becomes an issue.
But I thought you were freaking out because of the grossness of the vomit.
Well, no. There's that too, to be honest with you. Like, I don't want to dismiss that out of hand.
But on the scale of vomit, it's like a 3.
Yeah,
it's
but
not like
vomit.
You just ate a big burrito and like, oh, son.
You are being so disgusting this
here.
Morning.
It's just, yes, on the scale. Look.
Ribs. I had ribs for lunch.
How many times did your babies throw up all over you? Now, that to me is disgusting.
Sure, but depending on how old they are, like again, like you're saying, the contents might not be all that bad. Could have been something that actually came from my body. Yes. So like in that instance, like it's just kind of
return to sender type situation.
Moment. Exactly.
That's about a 7.
But that's also your child. There's a difference when like your child.
Still disgusting.
I mean,
I know.
I'm like blown away by your power rankings. Your power rankings of vomit.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hit it over with. Number one grossest vomit, Chew.
Is dog vomit. Dog vomit is the most disgusting, right? When you get the don't do it. That is, am I right? That's the worst.
Hey, the guy, you catch the game?
Oh, man.
Like football vomit?
Yeah.
That's honorable mention. It's not even in the top 10.
Not even in the top 10?
No.
Vomit on the football?
How many types of vomit are there?
There's a lot. There's,
okay, so you're saying one is dog.
Like any animal vomit is probably the grossest.
All right, so we'll just put dog/animal as number one. Uh-huh.
And then I think baby is just because it smells so sour. Mm-mm. Human?
Way down, way down.
Wait, babies aren't human? Is that what you're implying?
I think it's different for males because it didn't come from our body, right?
Maybe.
I mean, we had...
Like, but you helped create the child. Like, it's your child.
Gabe, I changed 3 diapers in my life, okay?
I understand. That's a different function that we're dealing with.
Yes.
I can't believe that you think the baby vomit isn't as bad as the guy vomiting on the football.
Baby vomit is so innocuous, they actually call it spit up. Do you know what I mean? Like, they don't even consider it vomit. They just call it spit up.
It's more the smell. Now... The kid playing the trombone in the middle of winter that has the flu and is trying to hold it back.
Oh, flu vomit's horrible.
That's disgusting vomit.
I've told you about that story of me and the tuba, right?
Where you blew it all into the the instrument.
Yeah.
And they had to clean it.
They had to clean it.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Telling you. Sports vomit is nothing. It's nothing.
I do think that flu vomit should be up there on the list, though.
So flu vomit is.
Is that number 2, flu vomit?
Feels like it. And it's bad because you feel lousy, right?
Yeah.
So where's hangover vomit?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all. So that was the next question.
Depends if you went by Jack in the Crack at 3 in the morning or... Am I right? Gabe, if you're going to Taco Bell at 3 in the morning and then you're throwing up at 10, bad.
Yeah, you're not wrong in this situation.
Like, I just hammered a pitcher of beer and it's not... hanging well, and that's nothing.
I actually think we need to have a distinguisher of night of hangover vomit or next day hangover
vomit. Next day's worse.
Way worse.
Next day's worse.
100%.
Because again, the next day, there's no puke and rally the day after.
But
there's puke
night
and rally
of,
the night of.
I feel like there's a level of, I am conscious enough to know that if I don't get this out of my body, tomorrow's going to be bad.
Yes.
So I feel like it's next day hangover vomit.
So hangover's 3.
But it's got to be next day.
Yes.
And then distinguish it from night of hangover vomit.
Salmonella vomit?
Oh, wait. So food poisoning.
Yes.
Different than the flu.
That is different than the flu.
That's not as bad as flu. Flu's...
I don't know, man. The pains that come with food poisoning, the stomach pains.
Well, because the problem... I mean, is it higher than flu? Because I feel like when I have the flu... And then you purge.
Yeah.
Like, you almost feel better, right? Like, there's just almost a sense of relief after when you have food poisoning, you vomit, like, it ain't over.
Exactly. It's coming again.
It ain't over, yeah.
And again, and again. You take a little sip of water thinking, maybe you're safe. Yeah. Nope, that's coming up, too.
What about wrong pipe vomit?
I didn't even know that that...
exists.
That was a thing.
That usually comes out the nose, because you're... You know when it shoots out the nostrils? That's kind of bad.
You're a really good reenactor.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty good. Pretty good visual for people watching
on
YouTube.
Stream. Wow, I thought you might actually blow chunks there. All right, well, I feel like we've got a pretty solid
list
there, right?
Yeah, we're good.
And football vomit has still not come up. So maybe he's right. Maybe Chewy is right.
It didn't even make top 10.
Yeah, but the quarterback's not even wearing gloves. Like, everybody else is wearing gloves.
It's water that was in there for maybe 5 minutes.
So it's warm.
Yeah.
It was still in there.
I don't care how
long it wasn't percolating down there. It was still in there.
I just don't think it's a big deal.
And yet baby vomit is.
I'm scarred, I guess.
You'd think you would be scarred from football.
One would think. I did get hit in the head a lot, though.
I'm not sure which of my fine sponsors to attach to this segment, but let's go with Accutrans. They're a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and wedding-related transportation that you will use again and again. From corporate travel and weddings to group events, Accutrans Group caters to every occasion. Booking is safe and easy and dependable. You can visit their website at AccutransGroup.com to get a quote and book a reservation today. Guys, when I have to go to the airport, when I got to make a trip down to O'Hare, Accutrans is the only group that I use, and it is almost dance season. If you have high schoolers who can't drive themselves yet and you don't want to be bopping them all over town that evening to the restaurant, to the dance, back from the dance, to the after party, Accutrans Group can help. AccutransGroup.com is the website for reliable and safe transportation.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What operating system does a Chewy computer run on?
I believe it's a Cat 14.
It's a COS. It's a Chewy operating system.
I was thinking Windows 98.
Yeah, very similar.
It's dial-up. Let me get my modem.
Chewy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
He's got it. He's got room. Run in a short tenure with the Packers. Jacobs for 40 yards.
It is a Victory Monday. It's brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Scream It Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Who did you learn the most about in the Packers' victory over the Colts? Malik Willis, Matt LaFleur, Josh Jacobs, or the offensive line? Maybe you want to throw Jeff Hafley in there as well. Let's go out to the phone lines very quickly. Mike in Franklin, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning on a Victory Monday here on ESPN Milwaukee.
Good morning, folks. How are you doing today?
Great.
Doing good.
Good. Hey, I was just going to give Gabe the business because I think on last week he said Malik Willis was going to have a stink off with Clifford, and I thought he played pretty well. I know he was in LaFleur's game plan, but the 12 of 14, 122 yards, quarterback rated 126.8, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, Gabe? I mean, look, Malik Willis played better than, you know, they asked him to do a little bit, and he executed what they gave him perfectly. Like, there's no denying that. I mean, do I think that everything else that was said about him last week, I don't know if it was exaggerated, like Taylor Lewan, like that was his experience playing with Malik Willis. The scouting reports that we pulled up, those were people evaluating him. It's not like anybody else stepped up and said, oh yeah, this guy can handle all of this. Like all the information out there. And then Rob Domofsky, we can ask him about this, said he had a scout tell him he can't throw left. Which is why I've been trying to find like one of those passing charts. I'm really curious what that looked like yesterday.
It's a good call. We should definitely look that up. And again, remember there were only 14 passing attempts, so we theoretically should be able to go.
I still don't want to take away that what the Packers asked him to do was perfect.
Yes.
Matt LaFleur knew they were limited, and they ran an offense that was perfect for what they had available.
Here's what it is, okay, guys? Let's say I'm having a dinner party. Let's say I'm having people over at my house, and we are going to tag team the cleaning of the house, okay? I might give my husband some chores. I've got some chores. My son, who's 15, has some chores. And then I got the six-year-old, okay? And I'm not giving the six-year-old the clean the glasses that are going to go on the dining room table. You know what I'm giving the six-year-olds? Wipe the baseboards. Take this cloth and wipe the baseboards.
Grab the Swiffer and just, hey, push this around for a little bit.
Exactly. Something comparable to that. The point is, I'm not going to give them more than they can handle, and I'm also not going to give them the keys to crash the car, to use another driving metaphor from Chewy this morning. You give them what they can handle, they'll do a fantastic job, and oh, by the way, no one's really looking at the baseboards.
But
you know what I mean? So like in this instance, 12 of 14, like, yeah, you didn't mess it up.
Yeah.
You didn't ruin things. The dinner party can get off and go off without a hitch.
But next time I come over, now I'm going to look at the
next game. He's got to load the dishwasher, and this is a team that knows him very well. They're going to know what he can't do. They're not going to allow the run, so he's going to have to throw for 25-30 times this next week.
Ideally, I think he throws it between 20 and 25. I think if they keep it between 20 and 25 against Tennessee, they win again.
But again, short yardage, right? Do you see him airing it out?
Well, I mean, maybe every once in a while. I'm not saying like these deep, long processing intermediate route, like big crossing routes. I think if he pushes it down the field like he did against Rome with Romeo, like that was really the one time he threw the ball down the field. And that's just a, you know, five-step drop or whatever, and then unload it downfield. You get a one-on-one, maybe take a couple of those shots.
But now that you mention it, I am remembering, like, play-by-play, right side.
Right side. Everything was on the right side, right?
Yeah.
Right
what's the line?
I don't know if it's out yet, but I'll take a look real quick.
And if you are the Titans and you're watching that film, if we pick up on that, and if that's something that Rob Domofsky said a scout has seen when they have watched film of Malik Willis, you don't think the Titans are going to be aware of that?
Of course. They're going to know everything about the guy. Everything. They're gonna, like I said, they're going to know what he cannot do.
Tennessee by 2.5 is the early line.
So, okay. You know what? It's going to be another same type of game.
It has to be.
It's going to be a same type of game minus 261. You're not running for 261.
But what if they did?
You can go in and say, well, then you got morons out there. Well, there are morons out there coaching. I can tell you that. But it cannot, it can't be the same game plan. It just can't. Right?
Well, I think you're having
a good D coordinator is going, you, right here, number 8, you're not winning the game.
Honestly, I thought that we would see more Jaden Reed yesterday. I mean, he ended up having, you know, 2 carries, 2 catches. I thought he needed 10 to 12 touches. I thought we were going to see little bubble screens out there quickly. I thought we were going to see more jet sweeps. I thought he was going to get a bunch of touches because that's how you could kind of attack the perimeter.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something that evolves quickly as well as they work, you know, as Malik Willis becomes more and more comfortable and he gets to work with the team for another week.
You know what's interesting? I'd love to be around Christian Watson today.
No targets?
No targets, 3 catches on the year for 16.
But if we're going to give Matt LaFleur his flowers,
yes,
then we have to hope that he prepped Christian Watson for yesterday's game.
Pouting is a real thing amongst guys who catch the football.
But if they prepped pouting, him for it, yes, right, and said, hey, I don't know that we're going to be going downfield a lot in this one. I don't know if we're going to be targeting you a lot in this one. We'll get you next week or whenever Jordan gets back under center. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we're going to say Matt LaFleur is a good coach and he was able to scheme him up, and I think that's part of being the head coach as well, is managing the expectations of your talent.
Just as long as you know guys pout.
Oh, 100%. You've talked about it all the time, and Tom Silverstein has an article in the Journal Sentinel today kind of talking about that. Hey, this was great for this week.
Yes.
But when you've got as many pass catchers as they have and you only throw it 14 times, that starts to become okay, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And you brought it up a lot that's something Holmgren was really good at.
Really good.
Where you had one target against the Vikings last week. You got the Bears coming up. Hey, Chew, I know I didn't get it to you. I got you this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of reaction rolling in on the YouTube page as well. Unified Meme says, the Colts knew we were going to run the ball and couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The Colts knew we were going to run the ball and couldn't stop it. They weren't surprised by our run game. They were dominated by it. Why can't we do the same thing next week? 800-990-3776. Keep getting us your reaction. I was way, way wrong on my best bet for weekly wager. I said that the Colts would score 2.5 over.
Over.
Over 2.5. I will tell you that at halftime, I was very nervous about that prediction.
They had 0 points.
That's exactly right, yes. But if you love sports betting as much as I do, you got to make your way to the sportsbook at Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. It's a new era of sports betting at Potawatomi, so get in on the action.
Never miss out on a second of the show. Find Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.